The American businessman and author Max Dupree said a number of very wise things, and one I particularly like on leadership is that it is the role of the leader to do three things. Firstly, to speak reality. Lastly, to thank people. And in between, to be a servant. And I love that. The man isn't a Christian, or not to my knowledge, it wasn't. But that speaks an awful lot about leadership, and it really encapsulates for me what a leader should be. But something else that he said is this: we are alone, absolutely alone, on this chance planet, and amid all the forms of life that surround us, not one, excepting the dog, has made an alliance with us, which is amusing and sad in equal measure, I think. The fact that he perceives us to be alone, and that no other creature seems to be close to us other than the dog. And what does that say about us? And there are all kinds of inferences you can make from that comment, if you were to believe it. But keeping that in mind as one particular worldview, not one I guess we share, but turning to this story of Elijah, and after what must have been one of the most powerful demonstrations of the reality and the power of the one true God, Elijah had fled the scene and isolated himself somewhere in the desert, and having just presided over the utter defeat and humiliation of the prophets of Baal, and having seen the wholesale turning of Israel's people back to God, Elijah should perhaps have been elated and very much in the public eye, ready to take a role in the newly resurgent nation of Israel. God had miraculously and powerfully achieved what he set out to do, and Elijah was his chosen servant. We all know the story very well of the prophets of Baal shouting and screaming and imploring their God to come and consume the sacrifice in fire. And I particularly love the personal elements of the story where Elijah, one of which is Elijah, saying to the prophets of Baal, well, maybe if you shout louder because your God might be asleep. You know, there is such humour still in these stories that it just gives an extra resonance of reality and truth to us. And that story should perhaps have been the great climax of Elijah's experience of God and his experience of being God's servant. And perhaps it was. But the natural next step would have been for him to have presided over or seen a renewal in Israel's covenant life, where again, as this cycle through the Old Testament that we read about so often, of the people falling away into error and into personal self-seeking and preferring their own ways to God, and then having a prophet or a judge raised up to bring them back to God's covenant ways, and then the cycle begins again. And this might have been one of those times you would imagine that there would be a rebirth of fervency for God and understanding again about turning to God, particularly after such a momentous occasion where fire from heaven consumed soaking wet sacrifices. And that was quickly followed, of course, by the drought coming to an end, and Elijah seeing the cloud as big as a man's fist, and here it comes, and suddenly the rains come. If that wasn't enough to turn a nation back to God, you must question what would be enough. But instead of all of that, none of that happened, not then anyway, Elijah ran for his life. And that was presumably because Jezebel threatened to kill him for doing away with her religion's prophets. So there he was in the wilderness, a hunted man feeling very much alone. Those words that we heard from the Bible reading 1 Kings, I've had enough. How many times have you said that? In honesty, we probably lose track. I've had enough. I mean, the next bit I want to kill myself, I want to die. We probably never said that, but I've had enough. I've reached the end of my tether. I can't understand why all of this that should be so apparent to everybody about God's grace, God's love, God's desire to see his people grow in covenant relationship with him, despite all of that, still, God's people don't seem to get the message. and I've had enough. I'm resigning. That's not me, that's Elijah speaking, by the way. But how often have we at some point reached that in our lives? I've had enough. I'm not sure I can do this anymore. Well, when the word of the Lord came to him, and we don't know how it came to him, it just said the word of the Lord came to Elijah, he needed to give an answer. What are you doing here? Why are you here? And he says, I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty, but the Israelites have rejected your covenant, they've broken down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. A lot of the focus often in the story is in that wonderful way where God doesn't speak through the mighty wind, he doesn't speak through the earthquake, he doesn't speak through the fire, all of those demonstrations of divine power, and yet he chooses to speak in the still small voice. But that's not our focus this evening. It's the sense of aloneness that Elijah has, despite the fact that he's just been a channel for the power of God in a way that very, very few people ever get to be, in such a wonderfully demonstrative way. God channels his power and his message through Elijah. Being an instrument in the hands of the one true God, or being a disciple of Jesus Christ, can sometimes put us in a lonely place. After times of being in the midst of what God is doing, it's easy to feel alone once all of the drama and the busyness has come to an end. It's just us. What next? When is the next time we're going to feel so alive in being part of something that God is doing, a new thing that he's doing, something which he is reviving, something into which he is pouring his power to enable people to see who he is at last? When is the next time we will be part of that? A statistic which rather frightened me when I worked years ago for National Westminster Bank is somebody once told me that 50% of bank managers die within 3 years of retirement. It's a frightening statistic. I'm sure it doesn't pertain anymore. I'm sure the preparation for retirement is much better than that these days. But the point is that the promotion and the increase of responsibility on staff in the banks at the time, it just increased. It was incrementally working itself upwards until the age of 65, and then suddenly you drop off a cliff and there's nothing. You can grow a marrow, you can cut the lawn, you can go fishing, you go for a walk. But the responsibility, the being part of something phenomenal, if you're into banking or whatever you're into, it is rather difficult to cope with. You can understand that, can't you? So here was Elijah reacting to no longer being part of something that God had done. And it hadn't turned out the way perhaps he intended or he expected it to. And that puts us in a lonely place, perhaps. And after times for Elijah being in the midst of what God is doing, as for us, it's easy to feel that sense of loneliness. It's easy to feel isolated when the condition of society, its ungodly activities, its immorality and principles stand against all that God is. To feel abandonment and isolation is natural enough when there seems to be no one around who hears or understands or shares our distress. The hymn which has been perhaps most appropriated for one particular type of service above any other, and we don't tend to use it anymore in services, "Abide with Me." Fast falls the eventide. And however many funerals I do, and I completely lost count over 30 years how many funerals I've done, but whenever that one is chosen because it's an appropriate hymn, it is thought for death. And you can see why it is. But of course, that means that almost, because it's used for occasions where a life is being celebrated but has come to an end, it's not used in the life of the church, because it somehow brings with it a sense of foreboding, of emptiness, of loneliness, of abandonment even. But that is completely against the words that we sing. Why have we lost that? I don't know. But listen to the words, which you'll know very well. You could probably read them along with me if you wanted to. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, Lord, abide with me. In other words, everybody else might desert me. And this is where the image of death, of course, the going through the valley of the shadow of death is the image of actually having to move from this life with our family, with loved ones and so on, somewhere onto a journey. And of course, let's not forget that most people don't really believe in anything beyond it. They don't believe that this is a transformation journey from one into another life, an even more abundant and fulfilled and joyful life. But leaving that aside, the sense that it brings out of people of feeling lonely and abandoned when you die, everyone else has gone. And all there is, it remains, all that remains is the hope, the plea that God would accompany us through that journey. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. And can you imagine? That's how Elijah felt. The glories have passed away. We're back into the same old reality, it seems, of nothing changing, of my life being persecuted, of being a hunted person, being entirely alone. Not one is left, and now they want to kill me too. That is his mantra almost. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. But then we know the verse that follows that, that brings real joy, don't we? I fear no foe, with thee at hand to bless. I'm never alone with you, God. I'm never alone. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. And so at such times in our lives, we need to hear the reassuring words of Jesus. When a simple, wonderful promise is made to the disciples, and it's this, that never will they be left alone to face the disheartening and lonely times of their lives. Even in those moments when the world seems against us, when we feel that we can no longer hold the tension together in life between the evil of the world and the goodness of God, when despite all the evidence of God's power around us, people still will not see the truth and continue to live lives predicated upon self-seeking and immorality. Even then, the man, the woman, the child of God is never alone. What a wonderful truth that is. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen.